Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the ninth day of April, year 2023. I'm your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Passover and Resurrection Day. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prynhonda, Cymru am byth. Yakida. We want to tell you about our website. We've been having trouble from time to time with emailing. I'm not sure if it's on purpose or whether it's just glitches, but there has been some trouble of late. So you want to make sure you go check www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And the Daily Mail page there is where we put information that normally goes out in email blasts. So if you're not receiving email or there's something strange going on with there, you want to check the Daily Mail page. That's where we put day-to-day pertinent information about prepping, health issues, geopolitical, et cetera, et cetera. The home page at the website is where you find out the 12 tribes listed on the home page there, and also there's information if you feel led to help out with a donation. If you do not have my personal contact information, you can go to the Contact Us page, and you click on that, and it'll allow you to send me a message. I will get it. Also, remember, the will of our Father Yahweh will never take you where the grace of our Father will not protect you. Do not be afraid to fail, but be afraid not to try. Not to try on Resurrection Day. Keep that in mind. Life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. It reminds me of that old story about the two wolves that are in every person, and the youngster asks the elder, you know, which one will have control of your life, and he says, the one you feed. So do you feed the positive side, the son and daughter of the Most High side, or do you feed the worldly side? Or do you feed the one with fear versus the one with confidence in who we are and what we're here for? It just depends. Which one do you feed? We are in the Passover season. This year, the first day of the year was right around March 20th or 21st, depending if you're lunar solar, or just solar. Our people are all over the charts as to which calendar they follow. Yahshua is going to have to settle that matter, so I'm praying every night that he comes quickly. I'm tired of the arguing and the bickering amongst Israelites over such issues. It's funny how much energy and time we spend putting knives in each other's back and fighting with each other over things, and then just gloss over the major problems, namely the elimination of our people. We're down to less than 8% of the world's population. We're on our way out. And since the dragon hates us, he's upped his efforts to get rid of us here of late. And so many white people, the true Israelites, seem to be happy to go along with the beast hunt on that venture. So the Passover is approximately from about the 6th of this month, April, until the 14th. So we're into the period where we should be eating unleavened bread and keeping leaven out of our house. And again, the feasts were remembrances and telling of things to come. During this season, we are to remember to keep leaven out, and leaven represents what? The things of this world. In fact, I have a message from a year ago, And instead of reinventing the wheel, I thought about just rereading it. It's a short message that covers these different things. And then we can get into this year's events as far as Passover and Resurrection Day. So I reminded everybody that it starts again, on the 15th day after the Hebrew New Year, and continues for the next 14 days with a holy convocation at the beginning and the end. The unleavened bread for communion and for this week period. Anyway, I gave out a website called allrecipes.com, and they have a very simple recipe for making unleavened bread, which I'm baking in the oven this very day. Unleavened bread is also a little healthier for us. The yeast in modern-day breads and all that can lead to trouble, especially when it's mixed with gluten. So unleavened bread is healthier for us, but it also is to remind us. So the message started out, "Happy Passover, sons and daughters of Jacob, Israel. I pray that you are all well and surviving these perilous times." Now, again, that was a year ago. Certainly they've gotten as bad or worse now. "I would suggest that you and your loved ones discuss what the Passover means to us in these days by remembering how our Heavenly Father Yahweh delivered his children," that's our ancestors, "from the works of the wicked so very long ago. I would recommend that the man of the house anoint his home with olive oil, symbolizing the shed blood of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb, by placing a small amount on the doorposts and lintels," that would be your main doorway in and out of your house, "while asking his blessings and protection upon its home and occupants. If there is no man of the house available, then ladies, you can do this as Messiah is your," quote, "man of the house. Do your best to eat simply this day, as our ancestors have done in the past when they were afflicted," and Jacob Israel most certainly is afflicted these days. "Keep leaven, yeast, out of your food as well as your thoughts." Now again, the symbology here, I hope you're picking up. Leaven represents the things of this world that corrupt you and take away your purity. For example, the love of money, evil thoughts, pursuit of power, greed, envy, gossip, vanity, lusts, erotic lusts, jealousy, rage, Jewish fables taught as the doctrines of Yahweh God, empty worship, idol worship, which means making the things of this world your, quote, little g god, such as government, celebrities, church leaders, media, sports figures, etc. Dwell upon him and his righteous laws this day, remembering that Peter told us that we are to obey his law rather than man's law. This is supported by the writings of the famous jurist William Blackstone, and he made it quite clear in his commentaries that any law written by men that violates God's law is no law at all. Let that sink in. We've overcomplicated things because we've veered off the track. That's why this is a day of remembrance. We've veered off the track. We need to resurrect. This is Resurrection Day. And we need to resurrect our race. We need to resurrect our faith. We need to resurrect our path, our culture, our history. So William Blackstone made it very clear. Just as Peter said, Yahweh's law is the paramount, the premier law, not the laws of men. Never has it been that. "For the warriors out there, I pray the soldiers' ransom upon you. Men at arms, take a half shekel," which is a weight. Today it would be approximately $3, 1/6 of an ounce of silver. and use it for Yahweh's work in whatever way comes to your heart. This pays your ransom. And we just prayed Yahweh's blessing upon all of our men-at-arms. The basics of the soldier's ransom. And they kept it small for a reason, because it's the thought that counts, not the amount. That's why it was only a half shekel. The poorest among you can afford $3. Take $3 and use it, dedicate it in your mind to our Heavenly Father. Whether you want to give it in charity, whether you want to put it towards handing out literature about identity, whether it's, I don't know, paying for a website and putting information on it, whatever work comes to your heart that you personally have dedicated it to the Father above. That's what it's talking about. A miserly $3, a half shekel. Suggested scriptures, of course, for this period of time is in the book of Exodus, where it describes the original Passover, Psalm 91 for the warriors, Psalm 149, which is our duty to be his weapons of war, also referenced in the book of Jeremiah, Psalm 83 for the basis of our imprecatory prayers against the wicked, and of course, Isaiah 33, verse 22, for who is our king, lawgiver, judge, and savior. I've been reading a lot about the people out there and in the mainstream church world where they want to treat the figure of Jesus or Yahshua as if he's a separate god. He's become a new god. This is a new covenant, so to speak. I got news for you. There's only one Creator Father. That's it. Isaiah 33:22 makes it crystal clear that Yahweh is everything. King, lawgiver, judge, and savior. That pretty much leaves most mainstream churches in the dust, certainly the Catholic Church, which belongs in the dust. There is much more to the observance of this day to show our love for him and for each other. Let this short recommendation suffice for now, as the scriptures tell us, when the righteous rule, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people moan. May our Father watch over you, and may he deliver us from the plans of the evildoers whose designs surround us. All glory and honor to our King, now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Which, by the way, hallelujah is ancient Hebrew, and it means all praise Yah, which is the shortened form of Yahweh, much like Dan is the shortened form of Daniel. Hallelujah. Paleo-Hebrew, which paleo just simply means ancient. Paleo-Hebrew is the mother tongue of all Indo-European languages spoken by the sons of Jacob. Do not confuse Paleo-Hebrew with Yiddish, the language of the deceivers. They are not the same. The works of archaeologist E. Raymond Capt, Dr. Barry Fell, and Stephen Collins bear this out, so a triple witness. So again, that's a reiteration of a past program of sorts with a little embellishment for today, talking about this period of time. And again, we're reminded that, in fact, I want to read it. I've got the dictionary definition up here somewhere. Let me see if I can find it real quick. There it is. What does resurrection mean? We just talked about the fact that our Heavenly Father, when he came here as an example and a witness and to sacrifice for our transgressions, that there was a, quote, resurrection. Well, that's a noun. And the very first one, of course, is everybody's attention to the modern-day church world, where it's the raising or rising of Christ on the third day after his crucifixion. But the word resurrection itself is a revival from inactivity and disuse. That's out, right out of the dictionary. A revival from inactivity. That means not doing anything. How many times have we talked about that verse? It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. A revival from inactivity and disuse. What is it that we no longer use? Disuse. Well, most of us don't pray a lot. I know a lot of people, they don't talk to the Father, which is what prayer is, having a conversation via your Holy Spirit, via the pineal gland, into the ethers where our Father is, wherever that is physically, that's up to him, but that's the pipeline, so to speak, of communication. It's atrophied because of disuse. People don't use it. What happens to any muscle, any gland, any organ of the body if you don't use it? It atrophies. Atrophies means it shrinks. It starts to basically not exist anymore. Just like a muscle. People talk about like when you break your arm and it's in a cast, you can't move the muscle. So because of inactivity, there's atrophy of the muscle. It means it shrinks, starts to disappear, so to speak, from disuse. It's not being used. What happens when Yahweh's law is no longer in use? There is an atrophy of your walk with the Father, isn't there? When there's inactivity of not putting his law into practice in your life, what do you have? You have atrophy of your personal body, your health. Look at the people today. I'm reminded that my brother and I were having a conversation, and just this week alone, he was almost killed on the highways three times in 1 week because people are absent-minded. They're not paying attention, or they're looking at their damn cell phone. In one particular case, a lady was coming out of a development, and there was a guy in the left-hand lane waiting to make a turn. Rather than pulling up very slowly to see if there was oncoming traffic, which is what my brother was in the lane there, on the right lane, she just came past that guy and pulled right out in front of him. He came within 2 feet of crushing into her car. People have lost their minds today. So we are seeing the effects of our enemy, who has been performing psychological warfare against us. It's a form of mental torture, getting people to confess and believe in a lie. It's a form of psychological torture to make people repeat and profess what we know is a lie. When a woman stands there and says, well, I want to be identified as a man, it's obvious it's a lie. But by forcing you to accept it, it is a form of mental conditioning and torture. Now, for the people that actually go along with it, it's far worse. But even for us that have to witness it, it is terrible. Terrible. It does damage to us. Many people I talk to, including myself, I don't want to leave myself out of it. It is depressing to watch because it's affecting people that we care about, okay? It's affecting lots of things. And it is not easy to witness, not easy at all. And so that you have to resurrect within yourself your communication and attachment to our Father in heaven. You got to hang on. Yahweh must be the touchstone in all of our lives in these days. We're in a storm. So like the buoy out there in the middle of the channel, or the lighthouse that's sticking out on the island, or at the pinnacle of land going out from a bay. Those two items are like a touchstone. Those for the sailor in a storm give him hope, give him direction, which is exactly what Yahweh should be for all of us today. He is our touchstone. His message, his law, is what gives us the basis for life today. But again, we have to resurrect. We have to bring it back into use rather than disuse. In fact, let me look up the verb resurrect. Cause to become alive again. Restore from a depressed, inactive, or unused state. And the third definition, return from the dead. So again, these are all based on a Latin word, which I don't know how to pronounce Latin words. I should teach myself that, I guess. But it is from a Latin word. You can look it up. And it basically is returning from what we call the dead or disused, inactive state to resurrect. And that's why the white race must resurrect itself from its dead state. We have become dead in our attitude towards our Heavenly Father. We've become dead in practicing His law. We've become dead in even caring about our race and its future. We've become dead to the meaning of good parenting. All right? And I'm going to have to be honest here. I know it steps on toes, but ladies, you should be in the house raising your children. I'm sorry. Not working. My dear, beloved baby sister, who's now departed this world, when she was working most of her adult life, I used to argue with that all the time, and she'd say, I have to work. And I said, well, what do you mean you have to work? Well, Rob is a contractor, and he doesn't have benefits, so I work so that we have benefits. I said, really? So raising your daughter and taking care of the household doesn't trump benefits? So she sacrificed, in a way, her life as a mother to help him out, who should have provided the benefits, even if it meant less in profit. But instead of doing that honorable thing, he insisted my sister work to have benefits. And it's odd and sad that those very benefits that she worked so hard to have for the family is what killed her. And you might say, well, Dan, how in the hell did that happen? Well, one of the benefits that she worked for was health insurance. And she had a case of diabetes, not serious, but there was some diabetes. And because of her dietary choices, she had some mini strokes. We're sure she had them probably 10 years before she died, but she had a major stroke while at work. Well, here we go. While at work, under stress, she had a major stroke, and they were able, because she worked at a hospital, they took her in, and two of the best surgeons on staff were able to remove the clot and save her life, though she did suffer quite a bit after that episode with speech and motor skills, such as even walking. It was not easy for her, not easy for her. And you could tell she was thinking things in her brain, but it was very difficult to turn that into language to speak. But what killed her was 7-8 months later, when they convinced her that her heart, which had many blockages, They convinced her that she needed to have a five-way bypass. I'd never even heard of a five-way bypass. I had relatives that had like a double and some people a triple, but never a five-way. And they convinced her, and I was standing with the doctor when he told my brother-in-law this message, so I know it's true. He made it sound like she was going to fall over dead if she didn't have this five-way bypass, even though she's still recovering from a major stroke, by the way. And they weren't convinced, and my sister was fearful of this major surgery. Can you imagine a five-way bypass for somebody that's still recovering from a major stroke? So what did the medical establishment do? They got together with the insurance company. Again, one of the benefits that she had worked for. And the insurance company went along with their buddies in the medical field and said, if you choose to not go through with the surgery, which your doctor is recommending, there's a good chance that we will not cover any kind of surgery in the future. And so they killed my sister. No, they did not kill her that day, the day of the operation. That came a month and a half later. But to the rest of us that walk in this world, that operation took my sister's life because she never uttered a word after that. Her body was still alive, technically. The doctor that did the bypass surgery considered it a great success because her heart was pumping just fine. But she was in a coma, couldn't move, couldn't speak. And then the medical profession said, well, we can't do anything else after 6 weeks. Coincidentally, the insurance money was about to run out. And so, like my mother, the family got to sign the paperwork saying we gave permission for them to remove the feeding tube, which means that she was starved to death. That took 8 days. 8 days to watch somebody you love and care for watch their body shut down. 8 days of torture for the person and for the family. This is what we call modern medicine. This is what we call humane today. I call it torture. I call it barbaric. I call it a sin. And I call it murder. Now, maybe I'm sort of an outcast, an outlier, but that's what I call it. The sad part was that I told her a long time ago, I said, did it ever dawn on you that maybe you're going to actually put yourself in a position where you need the benefits because of the work? Did it ever dawn on you that if you were not working and you were home as Yahweh intended for our ladies to be, that you wouldn't need benefits? You'd have time to look into organic foods and exercise and get sunshine. And the biggest thing, get rid of stress. That job was so stressful because it was insane, the things that she was seeing between the administration offices and the hospital and the doctors, the things that they were doing was insane. Stress, ladies and gentlemen, is a killer. And that's why at this time of Passover and the resurrection of Yahshua, we need to resurrect within ourselves our understanding of why we're here, who we are, and what is our purpose. Is it to make money? Is it to get a bigger and bigger house and more fancy cars? To accumulate, quote, wealth as the world looks at wealth? Is that our mission? As our race is diminishing upon this earth, as the enemy has brought in the leaven of false teachings amongst us? After you bake your unleavened bread today, you might want to do as our ancestors did, and it was explained in Matthew chapter 26. Now, as they were eating, what were they eating? They were eating the Passover meal. So a lot of people do communion all year long. In fact, I know lots of so-called mainstream congregations, they'll do it on a weekly basis. Some do it every month. My contention is when he said, do this, it's to repeat what he did with his disciples on at the time of the Passover. It wasn't to be done routinely. Then it becomes a ritual. Yeshua taught against rituals, because when you do something ritualistically, let's say a weekly communion, you lose sight of what it means. It becomes habit, a ritual. That's why all of the church services that are done by ritual are meaningless. Meaningless, in my point of view. So he told him, he said, take the bread, the unleavened bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, did he mean that this is literally my body, like the Catholic Church teaches? Yeah, the Catholic Church actually says, this is his body, literally his body. How utterly ridiculous. It's a symbolic gesture. That is what the whole communion is about, the symbology of his work upon this earth. Take, eat this. It is my body given to you. My body, meaning my sacrifice, much like us if we sacrifice our life, meaning giving up the life of the world, chasing after the things of the world. Do we sacrifice for our loved ones? Do we give our bodies in sacrifice rather than going out there and doing all the things of the world? Do we give our body in sacrifice to the people we love? Do we give up the strong drink to drunkenness? Do we give up the GMO foods and the hybrid seeds to show our families what it means? Do we do that? Or do we go the way of the world? So he said, take, eat this of my body. And then he took the cup. Now, what was in the cup? Wine, not grape juice. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And he said, drink it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of your transgressions. Oh, I know your Bible says sins, but that's actually not what it says in the original. It's your transgressions. A sin is the transgression of Yahweh's law. How many mainstream churches teach that message? Not very many. And so today, that's what you should do as you eat the Passover meal as a family. And maybe there's some people that live near you. You could get together and do it. But it's not the number of people there. It's the remembrance. The remembrance of why we're here together. And that we have to make his law, his demands for us. They have to take the highest priority, absolute highest priority in our life. I'm sorry for that background noise there. Forgot to turn my ringer off. So, So again, in the modern day, we tend to focus on ritual and we forget the meanings behind it. For instance, instead of Easter, which I don't celebrate Easter, I hope nobody celebrates Easter. Easter is a pagan lookalike substitute for the resurrection day and the Passover. Much like in my second wife was Ukrainian, Caucasian Ukrainian, and a member of the Eastern Orthodox Church. Now, of the two, Roman Catholic versus Eastern Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox at least gets it much closer to reality than the Roman Catholic. They're just off the charts. But in the Eastern Orthodox, as was practiced in the Ukraine, they still bake a bread for Easter, and they call it the Pascha bread, which Pascha comes from the Hebrew down through the Greek even to mean the resurrection bread. Pascha, the resurrection. It's not an Easter. Pascha. So again, there's little hints, there's little signs of our ancestry, who we truly are, all over the place if your eyes are open to it. It's unfortunate that most of our people have forgotten these things. Again, why today is important that we celebrate his resurrection and the Passover of the death angel over our people. Because we have a death angel amongst us today. Actually, we have a whole host of messengers, which is what angelos or angel is referring to, messengers. There are messengers carrying evil to our people in the form of Anthony Fauci, a Jew, Deborah Birx, a Jew, Charles Schumer, a Jew, George Soros, a Jew, Rothschild, a Jew, Rockefeller, Jews, previous presidents named Bush, Jews, Obama, Jew, Clinton's, Jew, Trump, Jew, Biden, Jews. Is there a pattern here? Is anybody awake out there? Now, some people say, well, no, like Pelosi, she's Catholic. You people never heard about the great Sanhedrin letter that went out in the Middle Ages telling the Jews to feign Christianity if you feel like you're in trouble, or if you want to deceive them. Pelosi's a Jew. Because when we talk about Jews, we're talking about ethnic Jews. Jews will pretend to be whatever they have to be to accomplish their goals. That's part of the protocols. That's part of their rabbinical teachings from the Talmud. They are deceivers. They are yids. That's what yid means in Yiddish. Language of deceivers. Yids, deceivers. From the garden where they were called Nakash. Deceptive, deceiving, sorcery type deceivers. And you look at their history through this world, that's exactly what they are. Isn't it funny that almost all of the bad actors that we read about on a daily basis, those that are poisoning, the heads of the pharmaceuticals that are producing this poison, they're all kikes. They're all yids. They're all Jews. Every one of them. The news media that tries to cover their tracks and say that they're not really bad, that this is a good effort, they're all run by the same Jews. You find that the bloodlines of most of the bad actors that have done terrible things in this world, you find that these bloodlines all go back to basically 13 Jewish families. They've been doing this to us for centuries, if not millennia. And what is their main power source? What is the main power source for these demonic creatures? The money system. How do they buy off doctors and hospitals and get them to lie about what they're calling COVID, which is nothing more than influenza? It's the flu, people. There is no such thing as COVID. You know that, right? They don't know how to even isolate a virus, and they get you walking around saying viruses do this and viruses do that. Nonsense. Such nonsense. But I keep pointing out to people that it's not a coincidence that the bad actors behind all of these nefarious things going on are all Talmudic Zionist Jews. When are people going to wake up? When are we going to resurrect our race? On this resurrection day, let's not get into arguments about the details about what happened 2,000 years ago, folks, because you're all going to have differences of opinion. It's inescapable, all right? That was 2,000 years ago. Why don't we focus on what's happening here right now, in the present, as we were commanded to do by the very scriptures that you'd love to argue about? The very scripture says you can't do anything about the past. You can't do anything about the future. Keep your head in the present. Each and every one of you has learned something in your time on this earth. You have learned things as you've traveled that made something you used to believe false. And I know there's people out there that still haven't come to grips with the shape of this earth. That's quite a revelation, because a lot of people can't handle it. They really can't handle it. I was just sent an email by one of my friends out on the West Coast, and he sent out a copy from a lady friend of his out there that has, her neighbor is a member of the Department of Defense. And they got a discussion into the shape of the earth, and he said to her, well, yeah, it's a plane. Don't you know that? She said, oh, my God, really? And he said, oh, yeah. And he gave her a picture from the 1970s from the Air Force in a high-altitude plane, showing that what the Catholic Church has been promoting for hundreds of years to be false. Imagine that. The Catholic Church promoting something that's false. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Yeah, that's true. But needless to say, there's a lot of people that's a trigger point. Well, okay, it's a trigger point. I get triggered by certain things. Everybody gets triggered by certain things. But you know, I keep going back to what Yeshua told us, and that is, Turn your cheek. You should be willing to turn your cheek to keep our fellowship together. I love my brothers and sisters in Yahweh. Do I agree with them on every point of scripture and theology? Absolutely not. But you're still my brother and still my sister. It's our race that's dying. Our culture, our history, dying because of disuse. So on Resurrection Day, it's appropriate to honor Yeshua and his work upon this earth. Absolutely. It's appropriate to honor our ancestors that listened to Moses and Aaron as their, quote, leaders, and followed them out of the bondage of Egypt. Yes, it is appropriate. But at the same time, in the here and now, why don't we resurrect our thinking. Resurrect our traditions. Resurrect our race. And resurrect our caring about each other, which we have forgotten. I think that's why I struggle. I have certain bonding issues and trust issues. Of course, I am a victim of circumcision, and I use that term correctly. I'm a victim. I did not choose it. It was chosen for me, and I regret it. And quite frankly, I'm angry over it. And I believe it is part of the reason, and there are doctors' reports that I have read and psychiatrist reports that say, not all men, of course, but many men like me have these issues due to being circumcised as an infant by the people I thought I could trust and love. Even though I grew up in a home full of love and caring about each other, that you cannot overcome the trauma that you do to a newborn child when you do that to them. It's impossible. It lays dormant within the psyche of that child. And many times, we don't even know what's causing it. But we know something's wrong. I know I did, all through my 20s and 30s. Something wasn't right, but I couldn't put my finger on it because, again, we were told that it was the right thing to do. It's the tradition of elders. Just do it. It's the right thing. Everybody else does it. Besides, I can get that charlatan, that quack over there in a lab coat with a stethoscope. He'll tell you it's for cleanliness purposes. See? Just do it. Just do it. Just torture that child. Just play with his psyche. Now we have generations of this barbaric practice and what it's doing to the psyche of our men. It may be the reason that we're having problems with men that are acting more like women today. So it's not just the jab. It's not just the poison in our food and water, not just the poison in the movies and the media. It could also be partly a reinforcement in our psyche because at childbirth, we went through that trauma. And we have to resurrect within ourselves the ability to have empathy for our own kind. Because many of us have lost that. That is why Malachi talks about at the end of this age that the spirit of Elijah, whether it's the embodiment of the actual Elijah or the spirit of Elijah, what difference does it make? Are you listening to the words or are you going to sit around and argue about who issues the words like so many people do? Listen to the words. The resurrection of our people, the resurrection of our families that have been destroyed by the enemy. Regardless of what you think the book says from thousands of years ago, regardless of what you think is going to happen in the near term, in the here and now, our race is dying. Our culture is dying. And our people seem to be more concerned about, quote, being right, winning the argument, while our race dies, while our families are disintegrated, while our children are strangers and our grandchildren, strangers in our own families. In fact, I'm not even sure that famille, or in the French, famille, in the English family, I'm not sure they actually exist anymore, because if you go back to the root words, I'm not sure we have families anymore. I'm not sure we have people that have empathy for their own flesh and blood. Well, we have a portion of it. We have a semblance of it. But do we actually have that kind of, quote, sacrificial love? I know a lot of the children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren of people I know, they sure as hell don't show it. So on Resurrection Day, it is appropriate to honor Yahshua. Obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. But why not focus on the resurrection of ourselves as members of a family upon this earth? Resurrect the idea of what a Aryan means. Caucasian or Aryan. And by the way, Aryan comes from ancient Sanskrit, which is a language that our people invented. Aryan, to be noble. That's what Aryan stood for. The noble race, the noble people. Since people love to have these electronic brains on their hip all the time, why not pull it up and look up the word noble and see what it means? Especially if you can get the older definitions. What does Aryan or noble mean? Are Caucasians Aryans today? Are they noble? Do they deserve the title of nobleman? Which is where that came from. Or nobility, to be part of the nobility, the noble people. You know, the Jews set about to destroy the monarchies, the Christian monarchies, because they knew that they were powerful. So they put that as one of the very first protocols in the learned, or the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, was to destroy utterly the Christian monarchies. I didn't see anything in the protocols about destroying the parliamentary system. I didn't see anything in there about destroying a system that has a Congress, a judicial and executive branch like we have. No, they're quite happy with those. They focused on the monarchies. And yet, our people sit around with their thumbs up their asses, belittling the idea of a monarchy. And don't tell me it doesn't happen, because I've been bringing up the subject of monarchy for decades, and I usually get laughed at, or I'll get some Israelite that'll look at me and just puff up and, I'll never be under the rule of a monarch. Really? That's really amazing to me, because you're all, on this day in particular, paying homage to a monarch named Yahshua. Remember, he's sitting on a throne. A throne is only sat upon by a monarch. Interesting, isn't it? We detest the idea of a monarchy, and yet we honor a monarch. We swear we can't live under a monarchy anymore because that's archaic, and yet we honor a monarch. And on Resurrection Day, I'm going to remind my brothers and sisters that if we do not return to the true ways that Yahshua taught, our race is over. We'll become dust in the ground, and the memory of the white race will be gone forever. Because that is the goal of these demonic creatures that walk amongst us, because the white race is too happy to go along with it. The white race is too busy bullshitting and bickering with each other to survive. Because as Malachi said, the spirit of Elijah is trying to bring the family together. And the family says, well, I got better things to do. I've got some emails to send out and tell people how stupid they are. I've got emails to come out and tell people how they triggered me, and they're just pieces of shit because they had the audacity to trigger me. That's what our people are more concerned with today. And so, in the twilight of history, as we come to the end of this earth age, we will see the disappearance, if it were up to us. Praise Yahweh that it's not up to us. Yahweh said, my remnant will survive. A remnant will survive. The majority will not. But a remnant will. As we alluded to earlier, there's all kind of scripture, especially Psalm 91, Psalm 149, Psalm 83, that talk about our people as a race, as a family, that when we come together in one accord, which is a way, biblical way of saying when we are on the same page, when we think alike, when we hold the values in common, much as today being Resurrection Day, or this period of time, since our calendars are not all in sync with each other, we can't even agree whether the moon has any part to play in it or not. All right? That's just the way it is, folks. And for those people out there that want to stomp up and down and say, well, I know for sure. You really do? You know for sure, huh? I got news for you. I've been around the block a few times in my almost 70 years on this earth, and I haven't met very many Israelites that are grounded in cement yet. Instead, what I found is the scripture to be true, that we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, that we come together as a group, and in the council of many, there is victory. But in the council of many, you have to keep an open mind. Or what does it say in scripture? Accept all things and keep that which is good. That's a biblical way of saying keep an open mind. Keep an open mind. Or as in the Proverbs, the things that our Heavenly Father hates, those who sow discord amongst the brethren. That's what Yahweh hates, people. Do you know what sowing discord amongst the brethren means? I think in my old age, I'm becoming somewhat intolerant, and I apologize for that. But I try to model myself after my Savior, my King and Creator, Yahweh. And I try to think as He would think. And I try to have in my heart what's in His heart as I look upon my family, my race. And I look at the behavior of our people and I pass it through a filter. Not my filter. It would be easy for me to go the way of the world. I have enough of that lust of women, drink, song, merriment, abandonment of care. Yeah, I could go that way. All of us could go that way. But I make a conscious effort to try not to go that way, to try to appease and please my Creator Father. And when I do that, and I look and I hear what our people do, it saddens me. And if it saddens me, I can guarantee you it saddens our Father. As we run around chasing after dollars, chasing after women, drink, drugs, sports, entertainment, amusements, and yet our family's dying. Our love and empathy for each other is dying, just as He died, according to Scripture, but was resurrected. as a sign, as a symbol. Don't let the enemy bury you in that tomb and close the door and it forever stay buried. Resurrect who we are. Resurrect what we stand for. A noble race. The Aryan race. Who walk to a different drummer. Who stand out from the riffraff of this world full of zombies and Jewish ass kissers. People who would rather die than become what they are. Can we resurrect that amongst ourselves? We are coming to the end of this age, folks. The signs of it are all around us, which means the window of opportunity to repent, change the way you think, is shrinking. So don't put off that important decision. Okay? It's too critical. Not only for yourself, but for the people that you're responsible for, and for the people that I would hope that you care for. Now, some of our people, admittedly, don't deserve a whole lot of caring. Unless they repent. However, if they do repent, like the prodigal son, we should rejoice and bring them back into the fold. If they refuse to repent, then they are outside of our circle. Scripture tells us not to even pray for those who willingly defy Yahweh and his law, who willingly defy truth, honesty, integrity. They don't even deserve our prayers, let alone phone calls and caring and charity. Let them get it from the satanic element out there. I could go on and on, but I'm not going to today. Many of these things that we talk about, we've rehashed them to the point of almost, I don't know, just almost becomes browbeating to some people, and I don't certainly want to go that way. I'm going to go ahead and end my portion here and open up the phone lines in case anybody has something they would like to discuss. I'm trying to see here how to unmute everybody all at once, but apparently that's not possible. So if you're muted by yourself, you can unmute. I'm going to unmute from my end. I'm just going to ask that you, while you're not speaking, mute yourself at your end. But if anybody has a comment, question on this Passover / Resurrection Day, now would be a good time to bring it up. If not, then I'll go ahead and close out our get-together here. I would ask if anybody has a special... I think I have one here. Yeah, this was something that was on the Telegram channel, and it was a prayer for this day given by a person on the channel. I thought it was very good, so maybe I'll share that with you before we close out here. I don't see that anybody has anything, so I'll go ahead and mute everybody again, because sometimes there's background noise, and we don't need that. Okay, very good. But anyway, this was on Telegram. And I thought it was, for the most part, pretty appropriate. Heavenly Father, thank you that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and power that is in your name, Yahweh. Thank you that you hold the keys over death. Thank you that you have your might, and Yahshua was raised from the grave, paving the way for us to have a new life with you. Thank you for your plan, Logos. Thank you that you made a way. We praise you for your great strength. We praise you for your lavish love. We praise you that you are conqueror, victor, redeemer, and friend. We praise you that you are deliverer, the worthy one, everlasting, Father, great and awesome Elohim God. We confess our need for you, fresh, new, and again. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, and lives for the days ahead. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted firm within us. Help us to keep focused on what is pure and right. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. And when the enemy reminds us where we have been, hissing his lies and attacks our way, we trust that your voice speaks louder and stronger, reminding us we are safe with you and that your purposes and plans will not fail. We ask that you will be our defense and rear guard, keeping our way clear, removing the obstacles and covering the pitfalls. Father Yahweh, lead us on your level ground. Shine your light in us, through us, over us. May we make a difference in this world for your glory and purposes. Set your way before us. May all your plans succeed. We may reflect your peace and hope to a world that is so desperately in need of your presence and healing. Thanks be to you, Elohim God, for your indescribable gift. To you be glory and honor on this resurrection day and forever. In Yahshua's name, amen. Very, very good. With that, I ask also that Yahweh would walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do, and for sure protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray, hallelujah.